You don't like to come over here because I'm a field nigger. You want to get around one of these house niggers. You know, there are all kinds of house niggers. They're everywhere. House nigger says, yes, sir, no, sir. Whatever the boy. They look to see what the white man wants, and they say, yes, sir, yes, sir. And you've been hanging on to some of those house nigger churches. Oh, that's it. Look at me, brother. That's right. I'm laying it straight. You've been hanging on those house nigger churches, hanging on the Baptist churches, and we looked in Union, South Africa. This man we had here last night was referring to Union of South Africa. This doctor and all the things they're doing here said that it was started there in Union of South Africa, and the Baptists started it. The Calvinists started it. In Union of South Africa today, I'm preaching a little long, but you should get some of this. The Baptist whites came in there, and now the blacks cannot leave their home at 6 o'clock at night. Wives cannot even live with their husband. Wives have to work out for 15, 20 cents a day. 40 times more pay goes to a white man than a black in Africa, and it was once his country, Union of South Africa. And the reason they lost it is because they let a bunch of Baptists, Calvinists, come in and teach them their religion, and they took the country away from them, and now they have to wear tattoo marks or passes, and a wife has to be all year separated from her children because she cannot live a mile away from where she works. And all blacks have to live out in little old tin shanties and dirt huts outside the city. They can't ride the buses. They cannot go to the theaters. They cannot walk on the streets. They have to walk down on off the street and let the whites pass. All because they let their black religions go. The worship of the Great Spirit. They let their black true religion go. Their great black culture go. And they let the white man's religion come in. And some of you acted, so I don't want to leave my Baptist church. Whose Baptist church? It was your slave master's Baptist church. That's who it was. No black man ever invented the Baptist church. No black woman started the Baptist church. I'm not against Baptists if they did anything. But like Martin Luther King said to me, he said, you've got to be a Baptist, Jim, when he was on my pulpit. He said, it's the only way my people will listen. Well, he's dead. And they didn't listen. And his own wife has built a monument. And Dr. Abernathy has to fall and cry on his grave because there's no money to run the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. It's dead. Martin's works are dead. And he was a gentleman. Oh, he didn't believe in the Bible. No more than I did. He told me he didn't. But he said, you've got to be a Baptist because my people won't listen unless you're a Baptist. And he was quite true with a lot of them. But the mistake is, they didn't even listen with Martin being a Baptist. They didn't hear what he was doing. And America's no closer to integration. In fact, it's farther from it. No closer to unification. We're not seeking integration. We want unification. We want equal rights. Same rights. We're not seeking to marry somebody's daughter. We don't find anybody's daughter that looks any better than these beautiful black, beautiful ebony, beautiful brown faces. We don't see anything that's light that is appealing to us that we're trying to go around and marry, so you don't have to worry about it. Always somebody say, would you want one to marry your daughter? And we've been looking at some of those honkies and we say, no. That's good. The report's back. Sister has been completely healed. She's all right now. But we just had to call her. Peace. Sister from Sacramento called in. The attorney came up, you know, when he came up about it. And they thought she was dying. And now the report, she's completely healed after they did what I told them to do. Here on the note, they have found they had it all down almost, but they wanted to check it out, and now she is completely healed. So we're grateful for that. So Martin passed, and he was the last chapter of Jesus's turning the other cheek. Martin's passing, and I want to say this one more time. I've only mentioned it once in this assembly this week. I want to remind you that the night before Martin died, Mrs. King said that even if they kill Martin, we shall remain nonviolent. I wish Mrs. King had never said that, because he was killed by a conspiracy. Oh, I know, we won't hear about it. But now we're finding a little Watergate, as even the mayor, the assistant mayor, said tonight, Watergate's just a cover. It's just a circus. He said a very beautiful point. He said it's like trying someone for a traffic violation when they've been guilty of rape and murder. But if you've been reading some of the Watergate hearings, the name Hunt was the same name that showed up in the assassination of Kennedy. Garrison tried to tell you about him in Louisiana, the district attorney there, and now he has been charged with all kinds of charges by the attorney general. It was done by Mitchell. Everyone that's spoken out and tried to show you these murders against Martin and all of these brothers, against Senator Kennedy, against President Kennedy. But now Hunt was a name that Garrison said was involved in that murder. And you're going to find out a whole lot of things as days go on. But when Martin was killed, the whole Memphis police went the other way. And then they try to tell us that one nut did it. Now how does one nut caused the whole police department to go the wrong way for a wrong emergency? They got a wrong emergency. On every police radio, wrong signal came, and they went the wrong way. Now, you tell me one white nut did that? No, a whole lot of crooked nuts did that. Mrs. King made a mistake. She should have said, if Martin ever goes down, we will all fight to the last man and woman. This is the growth that came up out of the sister. Now it's there at the bottom of the thing. In the bottom of the thing. Here's the roots of it. Down, it's kind of split up. This is the growth that came out of the sister down there in alcohol. It was healed. We were speaking of just earlier. And she was choking. She was choking and spit that up by trusting me when I wasn't even present. And she's had so many things, and she said she'd have to write a Bible of her own just to tell the miracles that have happened to her in her 80 years, past 80 years. And she's been a preacher. She was a preacher. Some of you people were worried about giving up your church. She was a well-known evangelist, quite capable, but she saw all of it was empty holes. Every one of them had empty cisterns, and their bags were full of hot air, and she got out. Even though she was in her 80s and could have retired, celebrated as a preacher, she left the church because she knew the church had been a lie. She said, I had to live 80 years to find an honest leader. She's not the only preacher. How many preachers left here? Pastor here, back here, Reverend Garrison, Reverend Williams, he was an invalid, couldn't walk, heart destroyed. Now he can run, he can lift up a piano. This man has been doing it for 3 years since I healed him. These are Baptist pastors. Brother Edwards someplace, a Church of God pastor. There he is back there. Brought his whole church in here. Reverend Young over here, Presbyterian pastor, with all the degrees you want, this white brother, but he's a black man at heart. How many other ministers do we have here? How many other ex-preachers do we have here? Stand up. There. All these preachers. Ex-preachers. Now, if you haven't met, he was a preacher and a half. He came here, harmonica player. I want to hear him play after a bit. They left their church in their golden years, some of them. And you say, I don't know what I'll come over here with the Jones. I don't know how long they're going to last. Honey, we're going to outlast your Baptist so long, so long, so long. Very well. It's a long night, and we can always save other things for other days. But it's wonderful to know the truth. You go to the Baptist church, you pay that man his anniversaries, you pay for his Cadillac, ask him to heal you. If you go to the Methodist church, you put your money in the Methodist church to buy nothing that will serve the people. You've been paying those churches. They don't have any ground. We've got hundreds of acres. It's costly for us to pay for these things every month. Send hundreds of food items to Wounded Knee. Hundreds of dollars because these Indians are starving. We're sending food into Watts. Sending money into Watts for youth that are in trouble that could not survive if it was not for us. We reached to Harlem. And we reached to Africa. We saved hundreds of starving Biafran children. We've got a mission chief who was healed of cancer. And we've got two chiefs, Sister Nystrom. She had cancer. They had taken off both of her limbs. She was eaten up with it. And she's now healed. Cancer was all through her. She's walking around on artificial legs, but the cancer was stopped preaching the gospel of Jim Jones in Africa. You don't have to slip out. Tell them they don't have to slip out. She'd have been any lower, she might have got healed of her arthritis. People kill me. It's a circus to watch folk up here, I'm telling you. Some of them, they come in here, and they look around to see if there's anybody else a member of their church. They're looking all around, see. And if I've seen them, they look around, and oh, they'll spot. And well, she's over here. I'm going to have to get out of here. She'll tell I'm here. People are funny. If it wasn't such a tragedy that they're doing, it would be funny, but it's a tragedy. The people are worried more about what people think of them than what they think of themselves. So you haven't got anything to lose but your chains. The religion you have has been given to you by the white man. It's time you find something that'll work for you. We've got something that'll work for us. And if you find something that'll work any better, you bring them to us and we'll go to them. You show us anyone that can do what we do. You show anyone that fights, saves homes, goes into the courts, snatches people right from the courts when they're ready to be sentenced. You show me one. And we will unite with them. And we will join them. And I will carry their coat. Because we didn't want to build a church. All we wanted to do was to build land, to build sanatoriums, to give our people jobs, to give them food. But we came here, even to one of the men that I rather respect, came to Cecil Williams. We said, can we use your building on off times, not even on Sundays? My brothers back here, Brother Garrison, Brother Williams, leading businessmen here, went to him. He said, he was sitting there, and they said a young woman with her dress clear up to her hips, sitting there, flitting around with him on the knee. They said it was a spectacle that they didn't particularly think was enhancing to liberation. And they said to him, we'll give all the money to black causes that we would pay for a building. He said, no, I'm doing my thing. You go do your thing. Well, I don't look at it as doing a thing. I think this problem of black people being operated on and black children now, it's coming out all over the nation. Carolina now has produced 80-some sterilized. Little black girls against their will, taken by the establishment and operated against their own volition. Blacks given syphilis, allowed to have syphilis untreated just to see how it will cause their brains to rot and their bodies to die. Our Mexican mothers given cancer-causing carcinogenic drugs that never would stop pregnancy just to see what it would do to their body. And the things this good psychiatrist told us is incredible. The things he told us that are being done right now to human beings on Wednesday night. Now, I think it's high time that we quit doing our thing and got ourselves together. And I still hold it out. If Cecil Williams will build a church that will serve the people and will not buy Cadillacs and diamond rings for the leaders, I will unite with him. I will unite with any group that will have us. I will be glad to be second in command to anyone that will be a better father than I am. But I'm an awfully good father, and I demand that whoever I follow has to be as good a father as I am. Hands clasped. With that, I'm going to ask tonight, we have to take our offering. The offertory workers have reported it's very low. We're going on a vacation. An equal vacation from each according to his ability to each according to his need. If there's someone here that's a pensioner that doesn't have a dime, they'll be on that vacation trip. Many of our children that were orphans that are in our homes that have been taken in will be given the trip that starts on April 3rd, August 3rd, and all will have the same food, the same pleasures. That's what I mean too. Don't bring any candies. If you bring any candies, if you don't let the group, the communal group do it, if you bring candy, you better have candy for everybody. Don't bring any ice cream money, because when we take a trip, everybody eats ice cream or nobody eats ice cream. That's what we need, is a spirit of absolute sharing. Not some special privilege for the leader to ride in a Cadillac or Rolls Royce and to have finer clothes, but all should have the same. Not only equal, but the same. Did you hear what I said? That principle's emanated here, and it's going to continue. The spirit of that great peace mission is going to continue in the earth. And we're taking over 500 people on the trip. But we've got to maintain the house while we're gone. So I'm going to ask tonight, if there's anyone that wants to give, like one sister gave an offering last night and was healed immediately. Another brother gave an offering that was their conscience, their amount of conscience stood on their feet when the money was mentioned and was healed of a heart attack. He's having pains across his chest, gone right then. Another was healed of prostate growth. How many times does it take to go to the bathroom? Get assembled in here. I've got people 98 and I've got people 98 years of age that don't move in a service. I've got one 101 that never moves. I've seen some of you move five times now. It looks to me like if a 101-year-old can hold their kidneys, some of you 20-year-olds ought to manage. And tore down racist signs. I refuse the right to serve who I please. She tore them down with her crutches while she was a cripple. She'll be here Sunday morning. She always sits right here. White, you think I'm going to join any place that she can't go? She's gone in and fought in the jails. She's been arrested more time than you've got years. She's in her 90s now. Now I'll go any place she can go, because she's black in heart. She's Irish as Irish can be. She speaks Irish just as keen as an Irishman speaks it. But she's got a black heart. You've got to judge people by their actions, not how they look on the outside. No. How much you own? No. Who you know? No. But we ask some things about how do you feel about suffering? How do you feel about war? How do you feel about Watergate? How do you feel about racism? And if they don't pass the test, they don't come in this door. And that is the greatest loss they could ever know. But I have to take care of my children all equally. And I'm not going to bring any stepchildren in here. I'm not going to bring a half-child here. Stepchild's a good name in the term of the world, but in the term of this spiritual truth, it's bad. I don't want any half-child here, a person that's only halfway here. I want to be your father all the way. And if you're only going to give me half of yourself, I cannot be your father all the way. So many are just told, come and see us some other time, or we'll call you. How many know of people that have heard that message, we'll call you? Oh, you surely know that. You must know someone. Nearly all of you have got somebody that's been told that. This church would be packed from wall to wall if we would let them come in here for healings. But we're seeking people in here that are concerned about liberation. Anybody's going to come and see a man that on Sunday brought two people out of a wheelchair? People that are in a wheelchair 8 years, like the one sister that had her leg withered the Sunday before that? Anyone's going to come to see somebody that can heal blindness, but not many will come that want to get their own blindness of their head cured. Not many people want to come to get their own mental darkness eliminated. They don't want to get eradicated from the evils that are in their own mind and in their heart, their own prejudices. Man, the newspaper that tried to cause us trouble with Ken Solving, now Ken Solving's been demoted and sent clear to Washington. He's gone, the man that attacked us, the newspaper. And the man that gave him his life was crushed below the mountain right in our cave. They thought they'd show our cave to somebody else. And his daughter died right below the mountain where our cave is. And I prophesied it. I said he'll lose the one he's been selfish over. He'd been mistreating one. One of his daughters is here, one of my nurses. She was a schizophrenic in total withdrawal because he'd molested her. I wouldn't tell it, but she's testified to it. She's now a fine professional nurse. There she is now, one of our best nurses in this church. She couldn't even move a hand when she came to us. You put her hand up here, that's where it would be. Move her head here, that's where it would be. Because he had put such a horrible memory. That's who told the lies. It was in that newspaper article over a year ago. But now the daughter he preferred is dead. And I said it exactly how it would happen. I said the child will die because the child's going to be ruined by him. And he's jealously worshiped that child above others and never given love to the others. That child will die, and they will not need an ambulance to carry that child. It will not die on the spot, but they will not need an ambulance. And somebody picked the child up in a car and took it to Ukiah General Hospital. And from there, someone else took it in a car to Santa Rosa Hospital. And there that child died. 1 week, just exactly to the year that I said. Because he thought he would be able to betray us. And he died just as I said. And his body was crushed. And he's never able to work since. And never will be able to work since. And his wife has had a major heart attack in her early 50s. Late 40s, rather. She's had one since that article. In fact, a few weeks after the article. And he had his accident right under the... As the sun hit the mountain, it said, right under the shadow of the mountain of protection. Is that not the truth? Is that not the truth? Tell me, we'll survive. There's power in this room. So why do you take a child? I took a child because if the child had gotten up, he would have done the same thing that he did to her. And he took the child away from me, and I couldn't help the child. So a child was better off in the next planet, the next terrestrial plane, than to be kept in a situation like that. I took away that which would hurt him the most and which he would hurt the most. I know what I'm doing. I can heal. I can heal, too, if you'll trust. But if you're going to skimp and refuse to help me help others that are starving, then be careful. And I've not been so strong in an offering, I'd be sure I'd be listening to me now. It was a gentle kind of an offering taken on Wednesday. It's a stern one here. 15, the last chance. And you heard the testimony. She said, I've just got to protect you. I didn't go into precise details in public, but I've got to protect you from an accident. And she got her foot caught in the track. And the trolley was coming right down upon her. And the trolley stopped. And the black man ran out and he said, I didn't even see you, ma'am, and I don't know how this trolley stopped. She said, I know. My pastor said, I've got to look at you on Sunday night. We take these things far too for granted. So don't you worry. I've said you'll always eat. Did I not say so? And have you ever seen me break a promise? No. I've said you'll always have a room, you'll always have your place of stay, and you'll always have food, and I said something else. Whether you give a dime or not, you'll not go to a concentration camp if you come here and give your life to this cause.